The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
As I've been building out my rental portfolio, I have a general idea in my head on how much money I want to make with my rentals and how many rentals I want to have. But Matt, you've actually taken things to a whole new level. You actually wrote a business plan before you started buying rentals. Why did you do that?
I wrote a business plan because I had educational experience from college. My bachelor's and MBA really taught me how to write a business plan. And from there, it really made sense to have a laser focus on what to do, when to do it, and ultimately make more money, you know, in the long run.
On the podcast today, we're going to talk about Matt's business plan, and specifically what I want to look at is the numbers that he used to build out his rental portfolio. Joining us on the show today from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, is Matt McCurdy. We'll take a real quick break. We'll come right back, and we'll jump into the interview. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified, and I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Matt, let's start off with talking about where you are today. Can you tell me about your rental portfolio?
Yeah, so I have a mix of single-family houses, duplexes. I even own a triplex, nothing larger than that. The makeup is 33 buildings, 44 front doors or units, however you want to call them.
Let's go back to the very beginning. So when you got the idea that you wanted to buy rental properties, you mentioned that you wrote a business plan. So like, how did you do that? Like when you're just kind of figuring out how you want to invest in rentals and figuring out where you wanted to invest, like how did you go about writing a business plan for that? Or how did you get started?
Yeah, so I wrote a couple business plans at the University of Iowa for my bachelor's degree, and then I went on and got my MBA degree as well while I was in corporate America, and wrote it for a little coffee shop in Eugene, Oregon. It was just something made up, really not applicable to me at all. But about 2 years after I wrote that, kind of talking with my wife and, you know, just kind of wondering about life in general, where I needed to focus in the future. And we came up with doing rental properties. And so from there, I already had that business plan. Instead of doing coffee, you know, full service coffee, donuts, breakfast sandwiches. Now we're doing rental properties. We're collecting rent deposits, doing pet rent, you know, so on and so forth, and just really changing it. You know, as long as you have a process, as long as you have a process in place, it's you know, seamless.
So it's the plan you came up with for the fake coffee shop. That's that you just 100% substituted that coffee shop for rental properties.
Yeah, which
that's
sounds
great.
Ridiculous, yeah. But that's what I did.
So now how has it worked out? Like as you've been doing this now for a few years, you've built up a good-sized portfolio. Has the initial plan worked out?
Yeah, it has. Actually, looking back on it, there's a section where you can do 1 to 3 year goals, 5 year, 10 year, 15, 20 years. And looking back on it, I kind of laugh, but that's the only way you know that you're growing. Because otherwise, you know, if you're in the day to day and head in the sand, you just look at it as another day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a business plan to really focus in on what strategy you're doing, what your future outlook and goals should be, then you can start saying, wow, you know, I've really done quite a bit. So for instance, in year three, I was looking at the business plan and I had already beat my 5 year goals. And then, you know, just now I'm 7 years into it and I've far surpassed my 10 year goals. I'm almost approaching my 20 year goals. So, really a good person, you know, with business plan would start recalibrating those goals and making them even further and higher for achievement, you know, in the future.
So were you setting goals that I want to buy X number of houses a year, or I want to have a certain cash flow? Like what kind of goals were you setting?
Yeah, it was a two-pronged approach. My main focus at that point was, so my first rental property I purchased was a single family house. So my mind was focused on houses. Mm-hmm. Later on, I obviously purchased some duplexes and other investments. But initially in my business plan, it was how many buildings, how many houses will I purchase? And then from there, what is the value of each house? So I kind of said, you know, each house is going to be $100,000. I buy it and I renovate it for $100,000. I'm just using, you know, high level examples. And then from there, since I renovated it, it's going to be worth $150,000. So I'm going to have $50,000 worth of equity. And all while I have that equity on one side, the other side is cash flow. So my typical goal has always been for every property I purchase that there's at least $500 in rental cash flow. And when I say cash flow, I say it very loosely because really it's just the rental rate minus the principal interest payment minus the property taxes and minus the property insurance. The other variable rates, CapEx, crazy expenses that kind of come up, especially through a hurricane that comes through. That isn't necessarily something I can control, but with that $500 in margin, I'm able to keep that buffer and not be squeezed, if there are some things that come up.
Okay, so you want to, after you pay the mortgage, your fixed expenses, your mortgage, your taxes and insurance, you want to have $500 a month that, so after a year, you've got $6,000 per property, but you know that you're going to have repairs, you're going to have vacancies. So you know you're not actually going to hit $6,000 per door, but that's kind of the model that you're following.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. So say out of that 6,000, like, is there like, so you're going to have some properties that are going to just make you $6,000 and you're going to get that every year with very little effort, very little hassle. But then you're going to have another property that's going to have a turnover or maybe have an HVAC that needs to be replaced. So when you look over your entire portfolio, do you see an average for like an average profit that you make per door?
Yeah, I never really look at that because to me, I'm not hyper-focused on that. In every situation, you know, for instance, let's take your HVAC situation. I'm working with a preferred provider is what I call them. I've bid it out, right? Like I know how much a furnace system costs. I know how much an air conditioner costs. If it needs done, let's get it done. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna just defer it because I don't have the money in the account. That can be another discussion. I have cash sitting on the side for things like this. Mm-hmm. It's never been an issue of not having the money. Looking at it expense by expense, you just need to have good preferred providers that you know kind of what the cost is going to be, and you know that they're the best at what they do. They're the best price in the market, and then you can kind of sit back and let them do their work, and it's pretty easy, mm-hmm. From there.
As you're building out your portfolio, the market's going to be changing. Prices are going up or maybe going down. Like, the assumptions that you were making 7 years ago for I'm going to buy houses at this amount, you probably can't get those same numbers today. So has your plan changed over time, or did you factor that into your business plan?
Yeah, that is a good question, because I didn't factor that in to my business plan. I did a SWOT analysis, which, for those that don't know, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, within that, there are a number of things I talked about in that, but I didn't really talk about, the Fed just printing sums of money right. to prop up an economy that shouldn't be continuing to go up. Back when I started this business plan was 2012. So we kind of all know what was going on, what the economic climate was in that time. In 2012, I couldn't have dreamt what we're seeing in 2019, 2020. Prices mm-hmm. are just skyrocketing. Supply is way down. It has been very tough to find investment properties. And I'm not going to just change my strategy because the market is telling me to. That's where investors get in trouble. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to continue to stand by that $500 threshold per property and work that. So the key is just to try to get that price down or find creative solutions to reduce your renovation project. Maybe you're stuck at $100,000 for this house. The seller isn't going to take anything less than that. But maybe there's some things you can do on the back end with your renovation budget, always looking for different flooring, different windows, different things to try to reduce your costs, finding different providers that are able to, give you a better price because, you can basically flaunt that, hey, I got 33 buildings and 44 units. I'm going to keep you busy with other things.
Right.
So trying to get some better pricing, it's really all about negotiating and relying on those relationships to make it work for everybody.
It's interesting to think about, and I know you don't have the answer to this and nobody does, but when you think about being flexible with your plans, the prices have gone up, but interest rates are way down, say from mm-hmm. 6 years ago. So when you look at, okay, well, maybe I have to pay a little bit more for a property, but my overall cost on a monthly basis might be the same because the rates are so much lower. Like you might be able to make the numbers work to pay more because the rates are lower. So I don't know. I mean, it's something to think about, but the rates being so low, I feel like that's got to be a factor, or even for your existing debt, like being able to possibly refi some of your mortgages to a lower rate, that's going to make your business more profitable.
So it kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
The only thing I can really count on is the next 5 years. And then from there, you have to reassess.
Now, speaking about being flexible and being adjusting and adjusting things over time, when you were first starting out, you were managing your properties, but then at some point you got a property manager. How did that change things? 'Cause that's an expense that you maybe weren't thinking about as you were writing out your plan.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a tough thing to do when you're self-managing properties. It's one of the tougher things to do to say, hey, this is my baby here. These are all my properties, and I'm going to just hand them over to some property manager that, you know, really doesn't have the same type of level of care that you would, right? No mm-hmm. one cares for your money better than you do. Right. And that's kind of the way I looked at it. But at some point, you need to kind of move forward with somebody to try to get that done for you, because at some point you kind of hit a wall, and I kind of hit that wall in 2018 when I was saying, well, if I want to keep buying more properties, I don't have time to try to find properties and manage these properties. So somebody's going to have to take over for me. And not to mention, it's tough because it's a new expense, right?
Right.
You never had to pay for that. That was just your time that you never really allocated into your business model. So now it's a new expense. It's even tougher to take because you got to find ways to try to pay for that.
Right.
So it's kind of a delicate balance. And to say that I've figured it out 100% is totally wrong.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure it out, and hopefully I can get it.
You look at the amount that you're paying your property manager, and yeah, it's an expense, but you could be doing something else with your time that can make you even more money. So, like, do you factor that in?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, to that same point, you know, if I don't have time to find more properties, the pipeline's drying
right.
up, and
yep.
we're just going to remain stagnant. The key is to be able to try to find more properties, do other things, you know, heck, even have fun, you know,
mm-hmm.
live life,
right.
that type of thing.
Right.
That's important, right? But if I don't have a property manager managing that stuff, I don't have time for it. So, finding a property, buying it right, you're going to make a ton more money than spending, you know, say $1,000, $2,000, whatever that bill is a month. You can justify that, with one or two purchases.
Right. Before we wrap things up today, I just want to point out two big takeaways that I had from today's conversation that hopefully will help you. The first one is Matt's business plan. I don't know any other investors that have taken the time to write out a business plan, but I really think it's a good idea after talking to Matt. Matt didn't go into this thinking, I'm going to buy one or two rental properties and see how everything works out. He went into it with the mindset of, I'm building a business, and here's how my business is going to run. Here's where I'm going. Here's how I'm going to get there. And I think just taking the time to think that through and to have a timeline of, here's what I'm going to do by this date, here's what I'm going to do by that date, I think that helped give him the focus to get to where he is today. And he said that he exceeded his goals. But I think just taking the time to write down exactly what he wants to do, I think that helped give him the clarity to get to where he is today. The other thing that I really like is the way that he thinks about his cash flow, that he rents the properties out for $500 more than the mortgage payment. And so he's got that $500 buffer to pay for any repairs, maintenance, vacancy, whatever other expenses he's going to have with his rental portfolio. And I think that's a good way to think about it. A lot of people will use percentages that they're going to set aside 10% of the rent for repairs or 8% for vacancy, but it's really just kind of a guess. Like, you really don't know what the repairs are going to be, but having that $500 every single month that you're setting aside is a real number that's easy to wrap your head around that you have to set aside. Now, where that gets interesting is in Matt's case, he has 44 doors. So setting aside $500 per door over 44 doors is $22,000 a month that he has every month for repairs. Now, obviously he's not going to spend $22,000 every single month, but whatever he doesn't spend, that's his profit. So I think that's a real easy way to wrap your head around the numbers for building out a rental portfolio. Well, if anybody is in the Cedar Rapids, Iowa area, or if you're interested in investing out there, Matt is a full-time realtor and he would love to connect with you. If you want to get in touch with Matt, I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode291. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chailey Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you are looking to buy a rental property, whether you're just getting started or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chailey Ridge. She's a nationwide lender and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chailey personally, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. We have new interviews every single Tuesday. If you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.